Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Well, good evening, Valley Bible Fellowship. How's everybody doing this evening? Online church, how are you guys doing this evening? Good job. No, it's okay. Let the awkwardness be here because they're online and you're in person, so it's all good. Good evening. Good evening, everybody. I'm super excited to be here. If you have been joining us for the last couple of Wednesdays, God has just been crazy moving in so many different ways within this church, and we are truly blessed to be able to be a part of what God is doing in this place. And tonight we're starting a new book. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles on you, please open them up. If you have your Bibles and they are fully charged, please open them up as well. We do appreciate you having them. And it's before we get into this evening's message, have you guys seen the coffee bar? Yeah. I mean, I'm here to endorse just a little bit. It ain't bad. I know what you're probably thinking. Oh, it's church coffee. No, it's good coffee. It's good. So if you're a Starbucks addict, please indulge in that coffee bar over there. They've got teas and stuff too. They've got a Mayan mocha, which it's like a chili, it's supposed to be like spicy or something like that. I'm just too white to try it. So I don't do that. And so, if we can make it that this is a community to the best of our ability, please meet some people out there. It would be a great time just to kind of mingle with the people that maybe you come here and you sit next to every week, you know where they sit. But we would like for you to, indulge in that. And just to prove that I like it, I'm actually really thirsty. So it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Thirsty for the word. Whoever was cheering me on over there. Okay. Well, like I said, we are going to be in the book of Ephesians. And this is something that ultimately at the end of tonight, my prayer has been for us to know who we are in God by the time that we're done. Or maybe at least a piece of who we are in God. This book is just so great for so many reasons. And before we even dive into that, this has just been such a great opportunity. Like I said, if you've been joining us for the last couple of Wednesdays, you were able to see we had baptism tanks up here and we were doing worship and Pastor Ron would come out and it was just this super impactful set of weeks that we would gather here together. And I don't know how many people ended up getting baptized. It was just, we just had lines just going down these rows. And then for the last couple of weeks, Pastor Ron has been walking us through a verse-by-verse Bible study. And we're going to continue that same format here tonight. And tonight is going to be, and for the next couple of weeks, thankfully we have a church that goes where the Spirit is guiding us and leading us. And so that's why it's kind of like a tentative. We plan on getting through the book of Ephesians. That's our goal. But at the end of the day, it's the Lord who directs the steps of this church. And so we're going to be in Ephesians until he says otherwise. And tonight, if you have never been in a Bible study and you would like to get into a Bible study, this is more or less the kind of a format that a Bible study takes, or at least it should take. There are a couple of Bible studies that I've been a part of in the past that it gets into a lot of opinion, and that's not a Bible study, that's an opinion listening. You know, like you're just, the idea is that we would get together, we would read the scriptures, guided by the Holy Spirit, but there are also a lot of different and amazing resources out there. I am not a biblical scholar. I just know how to use the internet. And so if you are somebody who would like to dive into the Word and know more about the Word, there are so many Bible resources for you out there on the internet, as well as actual Bibles that you can pull from. If you are interested, please call the church office. Get a hold of me. Don't bum rush me at the end of service because I'll do the best that I can. You're better just to email me or something like that. I'm also our Northwest Campus pastor. You can meet me there. We can hang out there. Appreciate you, Mom. No, my mom's not here. She's at home interceding. But it is something that I highly recommend. If you are not in a Bible study because you're afraid it's going to be awkward, it is. It's going to be awkward. But then the next week that you go, you're going to know those people. So the devil does a really good job of putting those negative thoughts in our heads. And if we can just shut them up and just say, yeah, it's going to be awkward. It is what it is. Nothing that we do new is ever comfortable because it's new. And so I highly recommend, we have so many life groups, so many community groups that we would love for you to be a part of. But with all that being said, we're going to jump right into Ephesians. And we've got a great night in store because when we pray together before services, and man, God's just going to do something. But I do want to give us a little bit of a background as to the theme of the book of Ephesians. And this is the NASB. It's not quite the study Bible, but it has this to say. It says, unlike several of Paul's other letters, Ephesians does not address any particular error or heresy. Paul wrote to help his readers better understand the dimensions of God's eternal purpose and grace and come to appreciate the high goals God has for the church. One of Paul's themes is that of unity. All Christians are one family in Jesus, and they should act with love toward each other. He also writes about the church, not a church building, but the church that is made up of all Christians through all ages. Something that we should also understand too is that this was originally a letter written to a church that was in a city called Ephesus. If you've ever wondered why we have certain names, the book of Romans is written to those who live in Rome. Good job, class. You guys did so great. I lobbed that up for you. And so that's what some of these letters are that Paul writes, is that these are specifically to these believers. However, the message is good for all believers. And so as we begin to look into this here tonight, I need to also come out saying that I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not trying to jab at anybody. I'm not trying to attack anybody. So if for whatever reason, anything that I say up here, if it does offend you, or if it does kind of get you to think a little bit differently, go to the Lord first, okay? Please go to the Lord first. Don't tweet or text somebody. Don't say you're never coming back here, because God might want to handle some stuff with us here this evening. He might want to say, hey, the way that you've been thinking about something needs to be corrected a little bit, because I'm more interested in you being a light to the world rather than you being a grumpy gills. So that's where we're at here tonight. So as we get into it, we're going through just a couple of verses. I'm gonna start out in verse 1, and it starts by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. We're just going to get through those first 6 verses, hopefully. I do want to read this from the Message translation, and it says this, I, Paul, am under God's plan as an apostle, a special agent of Christ Jesus. Writing to you faithful believers in Ephesus, I greet you with the grace and peace poured into our lives by God, our Father, and our Master, Jesus Christ. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. Sometimes it's nice, you know, if I'm reading scripture and it gets to a little, you know, like a little King James on me, I like to read like a more simplified version. The Message version is a good translation if you're trying to better understand what a word like bestowed means. I don't know if you use that regularly in your English language. You bestowed something at the bank. But it is something that is, it's nice to simplify from time to time. As we read the scriptures, I mean, it's safe to say that if you're going for, you know, authentic reasoning of what is the context, you know, sometimes you got to jump into a simpler way of having it said. And as we get through this, as we look at what Paul is saying, I want to look at a couple of points, and then I really want to drive the point home here tonight. As you probably were catching, we see that there is this big thing in verse 3 called bless. You see the word blessed a lot. But then it says something very interesting. Back room, if you could put up verse 3 for us, please. It says that he... who had blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Obviously, you've seen the word blessed talked about numerous amounts of times here. But what is this spiritual blessing? I know that myself, I don't really understand what is. I have every spiritual blessing. I really feel like my bank account would look way more blessed. If I have every spiritual blessing, why do I still worry about some of the things that I know that are stupid things to worry about, that I know are irrational things to worry about, but still I will worry about them. If I have every spiritual blessing, I should be able to, when I see somebody who needs healing, I should be able to heal them. If I see, like, if I have every spiritual blessing, why isn't my faith stronger? Why isn't my faith bigger? Why haven't I been able to overcome certain doubts, or why haven't I been able to fully understand scripture? Why, you know, these thoughts start to build up. And so looking at this idea, this word for spiritual means emanating from the divine spirit or exhibiting its effects and so its character, the spirit's character. And tonight I want to look at, just within these next three verses, that Paul begins to lay out three of these blessings. Now, like I said, we're going to go through Ephesians. We're going to continue to go through it little by little, but, you know, it's kind of like a meal. We're not leaving here stuffed. We're just going to eat. We're going to get an understanding of it, so hopefully that we can apply it. But let's look at one of the blessings. It's in verse 4. But this is one of our first points. It says, he has chosen us before the foundation of the world. You and I have been chosen before the foundation of the world. Kind of feels like an exclusive club for a second. But the best way that I've ever heard this idea of being chosen described is when Pastor Ron gave an analogy. So right now, if I were to say, hey, let's pretend for a second I don't know how many people are here. Let's say there's 20 people here. I got a 20-passenger bus. We're all going to Chick-fil-A. Who wants to go? Chill, Ron, how dare you. And if six of you raised your hands, then I would say, all right, you six are chosen, let's go. The invitation was for all 20. But those who responded to it were then chosen to get into the car and then go to get some Chick-fil-A. So when we read this here, you know, because I don't want to get it, you know, twisted with some other kind of doctrinal beliefs out there that, oh, you know, that's pointing to, you know, a certain group that is chosen no matter what. And it is what, no, that's not what's being said here. But God did see that before the foundation of the earth, he was going to see those. The invitation goes out to every single one of us. The entire 7 billion, however many numbers of people are there in the world, the invitation is for all, which is why, ladies and gentlemen, our responsibility of sharing the love of Jesus Christ is so important. As I was preparing today, I went out and I saw other human beings, and I'm just sitting there looking at them, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, just like this idea, like how many of them have a real understanding of who Jesus Christ is? How many of them truly understand Jesus like I understand Jesus? How many of them know that they are truly loved by God, that God would do this crazy idea of sending his only son to come after them? And not just that, Jesus gives us a glimpse of what heaven and this new earth would look like. He says that I'm going away and I'm going to build rooms for every single one of us. And that there are some people that, if I understand scripture correctly, are not going to make it to see the room that Jesus spent time building. It is our responsibility to share the goodness of the gospel, to share the goodness of what God has done through Jesus Christ. And it is simply hilariously good news. And we think that it jumps into like a list of do's and don'ts, because that's what the world thinks. We like to perform. We like to earn things as a species. We like to do certain things because that makes it, you know, it helps us to better understand why we are getting the things that we're getting. I mean, let's face it, when something bad happens to us, we start going through our sin list. Like, oh, that's probably because I drank that the other night. That's probably why. That's probably why. That's it. And we do that. And God's trying to communicate through us to others. Listen, everybody is chosen. And if that's a hard concept for you to understand, if you look at the way that God released the Old Testament law, the law, yes, was given to the Israelites, but it was also applicable to the foreigners and those that were not from Israel and not from those bloodlines. God welcomed other people in that were not Israelites. It's the same in the Old Testament as it is now in the New Testament. The second point, the second spiritual blessing that I want to look at, he predestined us to adoption. I don't know. I can't tell. Nobody in here looks like they're from Israel. I kind of feel like if you were, you might be over there. So maybe you and I don't always feel like we belong in the fold of God's family. I don't know what your history, what your lineage is, what your bloodline's like. Maybe you've justified your way of living because, well, my mom did that or my dad did that. Or, you know, it's just, you know, I come from a long line of this kind of person, so therefore I'm going to be this kind of person. But if you truly understand the idea of adoption, it's that God would see and still want us in his family. He wants to have every single one of us in his family. We're not a burden to him. He doesn't get any special perks. He's the perk giver. He doesn't get any, like, you know, kudos from the angels in heaven because he accepted you. There's nothing like that. And for some reason, what we try and do sometimes is we try to justify why we don't make the cut in the eyes of God. God, are you sure that you want me? Are you sure? Well, it says that he predestined it. So that whole, like, before the foundation of the earth, he saw you. He wanted you. Fast forward to Jesus. You were the reason why Jesus continued to go towards the cross. Because of you. He says, I want you with me in paradise. I will endure the cross. I will despise the shame of the cross for you. Because he saw that we were worthy of it. I don't even know if we can truly grasp this idea tonight. This might be something that you got to sit and marinate on for a little bit and just let the Lord speak to you. Like, hey, you are worthy of my love. That God would repeat that over and over and over. I was talking to a friend of mine today. He's going through some stuff. And I just said, hey, honestly, just tell yourself every single day that you are a son of God. Remind yourself of who you are. Because I get it. I wouldn't want me. Like, I don't know what my wife sees in me. Sees something. I was, my daughter, you know, I'm the strongest man in the world in her eyes. And it's her birthday coming up. And so today she was honored at her school as being what they call the top dog. So you go to her class, she gets a little crown, and she's got these photos. So now I'm having to mingle with all of her friends, and I'm learning about her friends. And one of her friends turns around and looks at me and goes, my daddy's stronger than you. Yeah. And so the Holy Spirit gave me the power of self-control. But then I had to go out to recess and play tag. And then I made her it, and I just shoved her to the ground. Said, tell your daddy I did that. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. But you know, it's crazy, though. Those kids give, like, that peer pressure is real, dude. Peer pressure, anyways. It is what it is. We had a great time. Yeah, we had a great time. I don't know how that fit into the message. Let's look at the third point, because I know we have so much time. The third point. He bestowed on us in the beloved. I know that kind of that word beloved, it kind of depends on which translation you have. In the NASB, when certain titles are capitalized, you'll know who they're talking about. So this word beloved is capitalized, meaning Jesus. And so the verse 6 says, to the praise and the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in Jesus. Maybe your translation has it written differently, that it's in Jesus. But that God would freely bestow, that through Jesus Christ, we would have access to the Father. So not only before the foundation of the earth were we seen as being worthy to be loved, but then God furthers it and says, I want to adopt you now and bring you into the family. And I want to do it through Jesus Christ. I don't want to do it through the great vibration. I don't want to do it through other means and other religion. No. It doesn't come down to what building you go to. It comes down to who is your Savior? Who is the person? How do you get to the Father? It's through Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. That is our God. Now, we're going to close in worship because I want to take a minute and give you guys the opportunity, because now we talk about something like this, and I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it talks about this idea of a variety of gifts. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are a variety of ministries and the same Lord, and there are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as capital H, he wills. Because sometimes we kind of, we are the ones who define who we are. I'm the screw up. I'm the sinner. I'm the this. I'm the that. It further goes on. Ephesians will eventually see it, but I'm going to jump to it in chapter 4, verse 11, it says, he gave some as apostles, he gave some as prophets, he gave some as evangelists, he gave some as pastors, and some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ. I want to take the next few minutes and open up an opportunity for you to find out at least one of the things that you are. This right now is a time for you and the Father. A time for you to sit and be in the presence of God and say, God, at least for right now, at this point in my life, who am I? Some of us, you might just simply need to be told that you are a son or that you are a daughter of God. Others, it might be that final opportunity where God's like, I've been trying to get a hold of you for the last couple of months. You're supposed to be an apostle. You're supposed to be someone who is a prophet. You're supposed to be someone who's leading worship. You're supposed to be someone who's given. You're supposed to be someone who does this, someone who does that. This is that time. I want to give you this opportunity for you. There are going to be prayer people up at the front. If you need that prayer, get it. But as we jump into this, we got nowhere else to be. We're getting out of here a little bit early. This is all intentional. But to go to the Father right now and open up, God, who do you see me as? I get it that I'm adopted into the family. I get it that you saw me and you love me and you're for me. But now what? Tell me who I am. So if everyone would stand to your feet, I want to pray this over us before we get into it. Father God, I pray for every person in this place, and I pray for clarity over what you want them to know. Pray for clarity. Holy Spirit, move throughout this room. I pray for clarity. In Jesus' name.
Tell me you can't do.
And just like that, I just want to encourage you with whatever it is that God spoke to you, whatever it is that he wants to do through you. The best way that I can say it is that you would look at the church, this not just this body, but the body of Christ, as an investment to pray for the church, to pray for the strength of the leaders, to pray for the boldness to do what it is that God spoke to you here tonight. It is going to be different. It is going to be hard maybe to start whatever it is that God has been speaking to you, or maybe some of you it's been confirmed here tonight. But God is just too good to not believe. We've seen too much. We know too much. I just want to encourage you to take a step in that direction. If you're somebody who needs prayer, if you're somebody who tonight you're thinking, I need to give my life over to God. I need to be a part of this and what God wants to do in my life. You might be somebody who's never prayed that prayer, never asked for the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, but tonight you heard God talk to you. There are prayer people up here at the front to pray with you. There are prayer people up here to sit with you and walk this out. I encourage you to come on up. We have so many things that we're doing here at this church. We have so many ways that we want you to be involved. And it starts with you getting that prayer. It starts with you making that decision to come on up. It starts with you making the decision that my life is going to be different from here on out. It's going to be different. God is too good. He's too good. Let me pray this real quickly. Father, we just thank you in advance for what you're going to do in the lives of these people that will forever, this eternity for them will forever be changed. God, we thank you for what it is you want to do in this place. We thank you for speaking to these people individually in the strength of the church that is to come, in their obedience to walking out what you spoke to them, to living out what you spoke to them. The world will be better. I thank you in advance for what you want to do in their lives, Father God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King.